Carolina Outdoors continues in session as we're celebrating Labor Day weekend and we're celebrating the opening day of dove season. We're also going to talk maybe a little bit later on. Wes, in the earlier segment, mentioned, you know, no drinking out there in the dove field. Shouldn't be doing that, not with shotguns, but also a lot of people are saying goodbye to this summer with Labor Day. We think summer's going to be extended a little bit with the pandemic going on, but watch your drinking out there on our area lakes. Of course, on the Labor Day weekend, people are oftentimes out on the lakes a little bit later. So we'll talk as we close the Carolina Outdoors later on a little bit about having the appropriate lighting on, watching your drinking, what's legal and illegal on our area lakes that way. But right now we're talking about dove season. And we're going to talk a little bit about, Wes, you mentioned turtle dove, mourning dove, what, and white wing. I mentioned white winged dove. Are all those the same bird?
You know, that's a great question. And the answer is no, they're not. So in North America, we all more or less have mourning dove or turtle dove. So that bird has had a lot of different names over the years. And it's just sort of agreed upon now to call that the mourning dove. But mourning doves and turtle doves are the same. The white wing looks very similar to our mourning dove, but it really occurs more in the Southwest and through parts of Central America. So we all have mourning doves. We don't all have white wing. The white wing dove does have kind of a leading edge of its wing is white, hence the name. Similar characteristics, a little bit taller, a little bit skinnier. You know, they might weigh a touch more, but they're not as long. So a mourning dove from beak to tail is about a foot overall. A white wing is a little bit less in the tail section there. So it's not quite a wide body jet, still gets the job done. So yeah, we're talking about mourning dove here in our area because that's what we have. A lot like passenger pigeons, except we still have them. Passenger pigeons, of course, are gone. But both big time sporting animals and have a little more intelligence than we give them credit for.
Well, those birds, 17 million doves harvested in the U.S. It's the most hunted and harvested bird in the United States. Just in North Carolina, just under 700,000 birds were harvested last year, and over 44,000 hunters. Now, this is North Carolina. South Carolina is almost equal numbers as well. What do these birds like? They're considered migratory birds, but they like bare soil, water, and of course, the food there. And what are the rules of hunting these migratory birds? Well, number one rule for sure is not to bait them. So you can't go out there and throw a bunch of sunflower seeds or corn or whatever out there on opening day or right before opening day. Normal agricultural practices need to be in effect. Now, that does not mean that some people do not plant sunflower seeds or millet or some other grained plant for this purpose, but it is normal agricultural practices. It's not going out there and scattering seed right away. And Wes, I'll ask you a few of these questions too, just to see what you've had in your experiences, but decoys. I have heard about some people not necessarily using decoys like they would turkey hunting or deer hunting, but they would take out a little bit of cover in the back of their pickup truck or something like that that they would sit under in order to fool the birds that are flying from pasture to pasture or field to field. Have you ever seen that?
Yes, so you don't need to be fully camoed up for dove hunting, but you don't want to be standing out there being really obvious. So there are people who will do that. They'll kind of set up a blind of some sort. Really, if you can just be in shade, one, you're better off. And remember, when you shoot that gun, it's an explosion. That barrel gets hot. So if you can sit in the shade, you're keeping everybody cooler. And if you are hunting in an area with some pressure, those birds are trying to avoid people now. So it's going to be darting and diving around. If it sees you, it's going to try and turn away. So being in shade, being in shadow, you can do that. Some places, depending on regulations, so check your regulations, people, you know, will use pop-up blinds, or they will go out there with a little fishing rod of sorts and a dove decoy, throw it up on a line and anchor it in where that's allowed. Now, all the places I've hunted, I've had extraordinarily mixed results with a decoy. I think it's more about the right place at the right time, knowing where you are in relation to the flight pattern of the birds, and why are they landing here? Is it for the cut crop? Is there water close by, small puddles? Are you near a gravel road? They like that. Are you near a power line? Even if it's just an overhead line, they're gonna be there. So that's more important, I think, than anything else, knowing your surroundings and how it affects the environment, including those birds. Is it a low pressure system? That's gonna change how birds move. You can check low pressure based on the weather apps that you have on your phone, the news, how your joints feel. If suddenly you can see at a better distance, it's low pressure. Birds will fly more erratically in low pressure, and they're gonna seek cover more quickly, but they will be out. There you go, little old wives tip there. But the big thing with that is, yeah, people will try to hide themselves a little bit, which goes back to maybe keep your shirt on also, because no one needs to see that.
It's so true. Keeping your shirt on during dove season, much important. You know what? I think keeping my shirt on, no matter what the season is important. Speaking of season, this is the unofficial goodbye to our Carolina summer here on the Carolina Outdoors. Labor Day weekend for many represents saying farewell to that summertime heat and all of that, and hello to early fall, which, of course, in the Carolina early fall, that can be heat as well. However, on opening day this year, we're going to have a bit of reprieve. So if you're waking early, up early to the Carolina Outdoors on a Saturday morning, you're in for a bit of a treat, because it is not going to be as hot as it has been, and that's going to make for a great opening day. I keep saying opening day because it is, Wes, you alluded to this, that's what makes it special. However, the Carolinas have three tiers of this season. Opening day through October 10th is the first tier. Secondly, it'll be November 14th through the 28th. And then the last tier, the third part of dove season, is in the middle of December. December 12th through January 30th, that is. So that's how dove season, this migratory season, this bird season, works. Again, the daily bag limit is 15. The season starts 30 minutes each day before sunrise. In North Carolina, there is no hunting on Sunday. You can do that in South Carolina on the private lands down there, but in North Carolina, no hunting on Sunday at all. So bag limit 15. Let's just say, I also mentioned college football, because I can always remember that being in the background. Somebody was always getting ready for the Clemson football game. The pregame would be on, or maybe the Tar Heel game, whoever the local Carolina football team was. Of course, they would have a pregame on in the morning. People would be out, you know, together talking, chatting. It oftentimes be, how many box of shells did it take you to get your limit? That would be how it worked. But something that didn't oftentimes pop up in this conversation is what to do once you got your limit. So, Wes, out there in the dove field, I would recommend, and I'll see what you say, but if you could do a quick field cleaning of the bird, pop the breast, get the guts out or whatever, put the breast into a cooler. It can be a small cooler, but don't just leave them in the Harris Teeter bag at your feet, or because decay sets in, especially on these early opening days because of heat. So I'd say one of these Yeti coolers, hard cooler, soft cooler, or some kind of cooler to keep that meat fresh after you've gotten your harvest.
Yes, so we don't want this to all be for naught. There's nothing worse than harvesting game and then wasting it. So in the field, dove are exceptionally easy to clean. It's a small bird, they're very delicate. If you have to do just one thing, at least get all those feathers off the breast. And if that's what you have to do, just do that. Rip those off. It won't take but 3 seconds. Cooler with ice would be great. If you put them in a bag in the cooler with ice, even better, just for maintaining cross-contamination processes. But get those feathers off that breast. If you're going to do the whole thing, One thing you can do, one trick, put that head between two fingers, motion down real hard, pop that off. That will oftentimes pull a lot of the guts out. You can separate the breast from the body with two hands. Really, it's pointer index fingers of both hands. You can clean that out. You don't need those wings. You don't need those red legs. You can clean that with your fingers, basically, and have a bird done in less than 1 minute. If you have a small pocket knife or you're experienced, you can probably do one in 30 seconds or so. It's not going to be gross. It's not going to be messy. These are small game. So it's pretty quick. It's pretty easy. For the uninitiated, it's not going to be scary or gross. I promise you that. We can get past this pretty easily. And then, yeah, get them in a cooler with ice. Part of, you know, tailgating was, for me, was always fun to see who was cooking what. What, you know, September means I've got the possibility of seeing birds like this, maybe some September teal. And then so you've shot it, you've cleaned it, can you cook it? Everything's better with bacon for sure, or cream of mushroom soup in a slow cooker. I don't know if I've ever actually had cream of mushroom soup without there being a game bird in there. So it's great for dove, it's great for chucker, pheasant, other partridge, you name it, works really well. So there you go, treat it like you would chicken. Ducks and geese are going to be a separate conversation for sure. We'll hit those guys later, and turkey is a third. But dove are fun to hunt, they're easy to hunt, and they're easy to clean and cook, and they're also really easy to eat. But don't be surprised if you do every now and then bite down on a pellet. Try and spit that thing out. You don't need to be shy about that. You also don't need to be scared about that. It's going to pass if you swallow it. It's not going to harm you. But if you can spit it out, go for that, please. That would be to your benefit for sure.
All right, the Carolina Outdoors is in session. We are glad that you're joining in. No matter how you're joining in, whether it be via podcast, of course, Carolina Outdoors, we hope that you'll share with someone else. If you enjoy the topics that we cover each week, where we focus in on the sports of our Carolina Outdoors, the people that know about them and are making them happen. And of course, we'll also go beyond the Carolinas with the topicry that we cover. If you enjoy all the categories that we cover on the Carolina Outdoors, rate and review it. It helps other people find us as well. Of course, Labor Day, opening day. It's not only bird season. For people who may not be into shotgunning, may not be into bird hunting, and that many of you are heading for our area lakes. And again, some of the same rules will apply as does to a dove field, except maybe you don't have to keep your shirt on. Well, I do. I still have to keep my shirt on if I'm on one of our area lakes. But we want to talk a little bit about boating safety as well, as we are transitioning, switching gears on the Carolina Outdoors from the dove field to Lake Norman, Lake Wylie, or whatever your close by lake is. If you're out there on a boat, especially, we'll remind you to hydrate just like you would in the dove field, not alcohol necessarily. There is always a little bit of celebration that's happening on our area lakes, but we want you to have the proper liquid in you to stay hydrated, to feel good, to be healthy out there as well. The other thing is, in the Carolinas and other places, you know, flotillaing up, getting all these boats together and having a great big bash, whether it be Memorial Day, 4th of July, or Labor Day, has been in vogue. But Wes, it's not as in vogue these days. We want to keep a little bit of recognized separation from your neighbor, your other boating friends out there, to keep from germs unnecessarily spreading to people you may not know, or maybe it's people that you do know. But I'm going to talk about inland lighting, because oftentimes during holidays, especially, people not only get out on our area lakes, but they're out usually later, especially 4th of July. They're later boaters out, but during Labor Day as well, they need to have the standard inland lighting so that they can be seen by others. That's oftentimes a safety problem that bubbles up, and we need everyone in our Carolina Outdoors to stay healthy. I don't know, Wes, if you have any boating insight. Of course, you worked in a first response category, so you've been on calls all across the outdoor realm. But do you have any other advice besides, I guess, a communication device? And we'll see what you say about a fire extinguisher.
You know, I don't mean to be the buzzkill and the bearer of bad news, but from that standpoint, as a former first responder, flotillas or rafts of boats together scare me tremendously, especially in COVID-19, but even before that and after that, because now we have more people and we're more excited about stuff and we tend to let our guard down. It's easier to fall. And if you fall between those boats, getting out is going to be very dangerous. There's also lots of motors around now. And even if the motor's turned off and you hit it, it's very hard. So, keep that cell phone with you. Maybe if your boat has a dry bag or a maritime version of a glove compartment, keep it in there, along with the appropriate radio. Because sometimes cell phones don't work or they get lost. Radios are good. Make sure every person in that boat has a checked off PFD that fits them and that functions and is easily accessible. Even on a lake, you gotta have it. And then, because we are staying out later and it is getting darker sooner, when you're motoring back to the ramp or to the dock, be mindful of everybody else who's out there. People could be skiing and they're waiting to get picked back up, or their jet ski just went out on them. There are people out there who maybe don't have lights on or about them. Be careful there. So keep your eyes around those folks. And if you're operating that boat or that watercraft, remember, you have to be sober. So you are the designated driver, just like on land, but there aren't lanes. So be careful there. You can still have a tremendous amount of fun. Just do it responsibly so everybody gets home and can do it again.
Well, and a quick reiteration of that sober part is the laws are the same for the boat driver as a car or an automobile driver. The rate is 0.08. So anything over that on your breathalyzer, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. And of course, law enforcement is patrolling our area lakes constantly, but especially during these holidays. And in fact, that is one of the conclusions of North Carolina campaign of not only automobile safety, but also on water safety. So pay attention out there. Again, we want everyone out there to stay safe and to be safe in our Carolina outdoors. But we've got a lot to celebrate, whether it be dove season or whether it be time on our area lakes. We want to be happy out there.
You know, one of the things, Bill, we've seen a lot of lately, the big growth in water is canoeing, kayaking, and stand-up paddleboarding. And people are going to be out there doing that. And oftentimes, those craft don't have lights on them. And so it's going to be harder to see those folks. But I will challenge my friends who are out there on those to maybe invest just a little bit. And it can be battery-powered. Get those kind of navigation lights for your own safety. Because if you are involved in a collision with a larger boat, even if you're not at fault, if you can't be seen, you're in trouble. So be mindful of people who are out there. We have a big stand-up paddleboard community at both of our area lakes. Keep an eye out for them. It's not just big ski boats and things like that. Everybody else is out there having a good time too.
Well, we have had a run. We are reporting from Jesse Brown's, and we do know one thing in 2020 is people are getting outdoors. So they are everywhere. Area lakes are going to have a multitude of people, even beyond Labor Day, because of the season that we're in. And maybe the lack of, say, college sports in the fall, in high school sports, there's not as much of that that's going to be going on, which just means more and more people are going to be in our Carolina outdoors. We celebrate that, but we also want to welcome them out into the outdoors and at least hope that they are doing everything that they can in a safe way so that they can stay and appreciate the things in our outdoors. So whether it be our area lakes, whether it be our area dove fields, whether it be heading for the coast or maybe our area of Carolina mountains, there are plenty of people who are celebrating our Carolina outdoors, and we just want everyone to be educated and appropriate in whatever they're doing. He's Wes Lawson. I'm Bill Bartee. We're going to take a quick break and say farewell to this week's program here on the Carolina Outdoors.